Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for the needlework artists.
Yes, lots of art.
Okay.
I've got a lot hanging around my house.
Yes, yes. All right, no show tonight. Just a reminder, no show tonight. No Stitch right. Hour tonight, Wednesday night the 20th, because I'll be on a plane. So no show. We'll be back next Wednesday with Kathy Ray for Thread Talk. And there might be a schedule shift that we have to do there. If not, then Jennifer, Beth, and or I will all be together and we'll just yak and talk. We could probably talk for 3 hours about all that's gone on since we last got together. So,
yeah.
So no show tonight. We'll be back Wednesday, the 27th at the usual time for that. Sunday, our guest will be Victoria Mathewson. Now, Victoria is a needle painter, embroidery needle painter, self-taught, and her new book, Needle Painted Plants and Pollinators. And if you are a Mary Corbett follower, who isn't, you know that last week Mary Corbett reviewed the book by Victoria Mathewson. And this was not planned or coordinated. I mean, certainly Mary doesn't know what I'm doing, and I don't know what Mary's doing. So the stars aligned. So you'll be able to, you can go read Mary's review of the book, the new book, and of course it's excellent as always. Mary's book reviews are always excellent. And then Sunday we'll talk to the author and learn more about her stitching career, and then how the book came to be and what's behind it and so on and so forth. So join us for that. And this book is terrific. And you know, Needle Painted Plants and Pollinators. So it's insects and plants, and insects on plants, like bees on blooms and that thing. And it's beautiful work, really beautiful work. So,
nice.
Yep. So that's Sunday. That's Sunday with Victoria Mathewson. So look forward to that. And then we'll talk about the our shopping show at the Attic, but I want to call your attention to something at the Attic, and I forgot to put this on your list, Jennifer, sorry. There's a, at the Attic right now, it's like a 3 or 4 foot artificial tree designed to hang ornaments on, like straight branches where you can hang ornaments on. And it's filled with hand beaded, you know, somebody made all these ornaments,
right.
A whole bunch of ornaments. And I'll put pictures on the podcast page and in the YouTube video.
I think I saw that on maybe an Attic post.
Probably did, yes.
She did the newsletter, the little mini, the pre-newsletter. And oh. I think I saw it there.
Okay, yeah. So you've seen it then, yeah.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So that, call your attention to that, because it's for a drawing. It's a fundraising thing for a drawing. The drawing is November 22, and all the money from it goes to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And Jean was telling me that it's like 95 plus percent, some, you know, vast majority of the funding goes to research. Very little goes to administrative costs, which is, she said, why that they work with the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So tickets are $5 for $20. And when you spend your $20, then you can be assured that 19 plus of those dollars is going to breast cancer research. So $5 for $20, it's cash or check. So you'll have to send a check, but call the Attic at 888-94-ATTIC or 888-942-8842 and to get tickets. So check in with that. And fundraiser now all the way to November 22. So there's time to get tickets. But
and that check has to be made out to not the Attic, the other place.
Right, the Breast Cancer Research
Foundation. Because I remember reading that too. So don't make the check out to the Attic.
Right. Oh, thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you make the check out to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, not the Attic. Don't do that, because then it causes all kinds of issues.
I mean, but, they have to go to the effort of translating it into cash. And,
right.
You know. So, if that's how, if they can, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know these days. Yeah. Just make the check out to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation and everything will go great. So five for $20. You can call them, or I'm sure you could just put a check in the mail and say, you know, send me 10 tickets. Here's 40 bucks, that kind of thing. But so do that. Act right away so that time doesn't get away from you and we get into November and holiday planning and then you forget. But this
and
is
the mail's a little slower now, too.
Yeah,
so.
So get it in the mail right away. Five for $20. The attic address is atticneedlework.com. It's right there on the homepage on the website down at the bottom. You can call if you have questions. The number's there, too. But so support that. It's a tremendous cause. Last year, they did not raise a lot. They did it last year, did not raise a lot of money because of COVID and you know, blah, 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 the usual hoo-ha. But this year, already they're off and running with a good number, a good sum of money, and, of course, would like to generate much, much more. So help that out. It's a great cause. And if you win that tree, you're going to be glad you entered because I'll put the pictures up. But, again, it does not translate to the live deal. It's impressive. It is very
cool.
So
you win the whole tree and the ornaments, all of it. It's not, you don't win just one ornament.
Nope.
It's the whole kit and caboodle.
Yep. Everything. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought, I wasn't really sure about that. I was like, do you just win one ornament or is it really the whole thing?
A whole shooting match. Yep.
Wow.
Too cool. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, there's a holiday decorating highlight right there. Yep.
Yeah. You've got a ready-made display.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Good to go.
It's very cool. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, even if you buy five tickets for $20, I mean, you know, handmade beaded ornaments on a tree like that, geez, that cost you hundreds. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're gorgeous, too.
Yes, they are. So do that. Breast Cancer Research Foundation is who you make the check out to. Tickets are five for $20 and sent to the attic or call ahead of time. You can't do a credit card. You can't do debit or credit card for this. It's got to be cash or check. So don't call up to give a credit card number because they can't do it. Believe me, I know because we tried. Marg and I bought some tickets, and here's the debit card. No, nope, can't do it. So Marga wrote a check for them. She happened to have the truck back along. So check or cash. And you know, I'm sure there's all kinds of reasons for that. Probably the simple part is to keep the cash separate from the normal business operation at the attic. So, do that because, you've seen it, Jennifer. I mean, it is very cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yep.
And there's a lot on. It's not just a few. It's like, it's a good size, what, 2 or 3 feet, the tree?
Yep.
It's kind of big, and there's a lot of ornaments on it.
Yeah, it's easily 3 foot tall. It was sitting up higher on a shelf.
Yeah, it's on a, so it's table size, but it's big table size.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, no, you're exactly right, because there's beaded ornaments, like Christmas ornament shapes, and then there's a whole bunch of icicle ornaments that are also
Yeah. Those were so pretty and cute.
Yep.
And there's tons of them, so they're all spread out all over. It looked awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, they were really pretty.
Yeah, a lot of drawings I don't get excited about, but this one, because breast cancer research, obviously, but then also what you could win. Holy smokes, would that be cool to have that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Very nice.
So get in on that at the attic.
Oh, you know where I saw it? I watched their latest Tarts and Charts video.
Oh, okay.
That's where I saw it.
Okay. Oh, so people can go watch that.
Yeah, they were talking about how they had a box to put it all in, individual boxes for the ornaments and stuff. That's where I might have seen it even two places.
Yeah, so go to FlossTube, and if that's where Jennifer saw it there, and see the video, so you probably get a really good picture of it and the full rundown.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. That's right.
So check that out. That's a good cause and a good effort, and if you win, you'll be glad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really pretty.
Yep. So that's at the attic. So we had, like living at the attic here since we've been in Phoenix, because we had the Wednesday night show where Gene took us through a bunch of samplers, And
awesome.
I know I bought one.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was like, oh, I love that red silk.
Yes.
Oh, yes. My God, those colors. And I'm just like, ooh. Oh, yep. My.
I bought the blue one now. I can't remember
that
what it is.
That was so pretty.
Yeah, the blue one where you get the main sampler, and then there's two smaller ones.
Yeah, that long horizontal one.
Right, right.
That I really like that, too. Yeah,
that's what sold me on it. The mm-hmm. main sampler, because of all the blues, I really like, but that horizontal piece is what really sold me on it. I want to do that one.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And then the other more square, the smaller square piece, Jean is going to do a conversion to silk. So I asked her. She said she would. So there will be a conversion to silk, because that what we showed you in that show was cotton. And so if you want to do it in silk, okay. There will be a conversion, because Jean's going to do that. At my request, thank you very much, Jean. So that's the one I bought. But yeah, that was that night sitting there having Jean shove those in front of my face. Oh man. Oh, it was really tempting to just keep setting them aside.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what was that really big one? And it was kind of a horizontal, long horizontal, but it was bigger, and it looked like it had quilts or. Oh, it was a Lila Studio.
Oh, Lila Umstead. Yes. Oh, yes. That one. Oh,
that
yes.
big one. The one. Oh my
yes,
gosh.
Yes, that one. Yes.
Oh, I have her Let Freedom Ring that I'm like, it's going to get stitched because I love it. But that one. Oh my.
Yeah. Yeah. Gorgeous. Was it like a month ago I interviewed Lila Umstead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jean has a trunk show there of Lila's stuff. Her stuff is terrific. Yeah, check that out. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one was so good. And that Let Freedom Ring one is really exceptional. Yes.
I know. I've got the chart in my stash.
Doing that stuff is unfair because you just want, you want, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, it's unfair, but.
Yes, my husband thinks that the actual hobby is the buying and collecting of the charts, not so much the stitching.
Some accuracy there, yeah.
He's like, you know, that's the real hobby, is the buying and collecting mm-hmm. and then showing on YouTube and Instagram mm-hmm. what you bought. He's like, that's the hobby.
Yeah, like, see, yeah, no one's whatever. Ever claimed your husband was a dummy, and no, He's perceiving the obvious well there, yes.
Mm-hmm. He's got me figured.
Yep. Yeah. He has seen the movie, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, Lila Umstead, check out the interview, but Jean has the trunk show there at the shop. And so she has all those things. There's several of them. Yeah, her stuff is terrific. It's really terrific.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so we did that, and then we did the men's night. Now, only mm-hmm. Only two guys were able to show up in addition to me. There was going to be a fourth person, but he didn't show. Who knows what came up. But anyway, so what? We had a great time. We really had a terrific time for a couple hours just stitching and talking about guy things, you know?
Guy, like what, football and sports?
Actually, we got into discussion.
Crazy wives.
No. The big discussion ended up being about supply chain and the whole worker shifting, changing. You know, the great resignation. People leaving jobs, looking for more flexible situations. We had quite a discussion about that. Yeah.
Oh.
If you wonder what guys talk about when they get together, that was one of them. Yeah,
that's a topic.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, my husband and I talk about it too. So,
but we had a great time. Yeah, I actually got stitching done too. It was kind of cool. Yep.
Nice. Yeah, I saw your band sampler. It's your banding.
Right.
With all the bits on it.
My sampler. Banding band sampler. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Very pretty. The blue is very rich. I
love that blue. I love that blue. It's MPI something. Oh, man. I'll stitch on that all day long.
And it looks great with the banding. Has the three color stripes on the side.
Yeah. Yep.
It, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, that reminds me. Gene did a whole bunch of pictures. I need to get the pictures from Gene so I can post them. She did pictures of what each of us was working on and us guys at a table. Mm. But that was fun. I enjoy that. You know, it's just a night out, and we just sit there. It was just the three of us, and then Gene was over at her desk working. And we just had a good time. It was fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep. So next time I get out here, we'll do it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Sunday, we had the shopping at the attic.
Mm-hmm.
That was an experience. That was fun. And thanks to everybody. Thanks to everybody who supported and bought things and made it a successful day. Really appreciate it. Because it was a pure experiment. We didn't really know if people would be interested, but they were. The phones were busy, so we really appreciate all the support and making the thing. I couldn't believe how fast the 2 hours went by. Holy smokes!
Yeah, it didn't seem like when they said it was time, I was like, really? Because I was just watching, and it was enjoyable just to watch.
Yeah,
you know, and because you went through so many things, it was fun to just see all the stuff. And a lot of the stuff is not just your normal things. It was those cool kits and stuff and all the extra bits. And that's not something you just run across all the time.
Yeah, you were saying before we recorded, and I thought you made a good point about how if you go into a store, those little kits that make up little goo-gahs of whatever and come with all the pieces, how you tend to overlook those. I thought that was a good observation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tend to just look right past them unless they've got a display up that has the finished product, which they usually don't.
Right.
And then a lot of times if they're not, they get shoved to the back of the shelf because they're big and clunky and smaller stuff gets put in, you know, they just get lost in the shuffle at the stores.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where I've usually seen them is at that Celebrations that I go to. One of the booths always has a bunch of those things set up and they have the display there and then you see the kit and you're like, ooh, that's what's in there. And you know, the real thing's always better than the picture.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No doubt. Yep.
So then you can see what it really is. And then you're like, oh yeah, that's good. The picture doesn't look good, but the product right there, it's good.
Yep. Yeah. And even though the sale is over, that I would suggest if you're interested in that kind of thing, go back and watch the video to see those, because I don't think Jean sold out. She had several of those, and I don't think she sold out. And there was a bunch of Halloween stuff, and I don't think they're all gone.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get the 25% off, but they aren't horribly expensive anyway.
Right.
I agree with you. Yeah, you go into a store. It's like going into a bookstore, and you're hit right in the face with, you know, the new hot books, and yet there's this whole store full of stuff, and those little things just kind of get lost as you're looking at the big things, and yet those little things for $15 or $20 that are a full kit, everything you need, to make whatever it is, and you know, just simple little projects you can take on a trip or whatever, and then you end up with something, you know, pincushion or whatever that. You tend to overlook those. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you have to get on your hands and knees and get down to the very bottom shelf under the back which I've done, and I found stuff. And since I've seen it before in real life, I know I'm like, okay, this picture's totally not even doing it justice. Right. I know this is going to be good when it's done.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Some of those samplers, the pictures,
Well, it was probably taken back in the day before the good cameras.
Yeah.
You know, printing.
We were talking about that Williamsburg, those two books from Williamsburg, where they showed pictures of the original samplers instead of a model. And, just passing by in a store, there's no way you'd pick those up. But if you stop and look at them, one had, five samplers and the other had three.
Right, and, or four and three?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Maybe it was five.
But if you get that, when you look at the pictures, they're beautiful samplers and smaller, simpler ones, and there's a big one in each one, and you just let your mind work through the colors, and you go, wow, for not a lot of money, I can own charts for a bunch of samplers. Yeah.
Yep. Just got to look past the blurry picture with right. the faded coloring.
Right.
And, you know, I've noticed that the more I've been on Instagram and seen the old sampler and then the newly stitched one.
Yeah.
You start to learn how to visualize.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, from looking at pictures on Instagram, you can start to train your brain to see past the faded and the holes and, you know?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And see what the model would look like, what your piece would look like. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So look through that thing. You'll find stuff, that you didn't know existed. And, definitely.
And those, I really like those bell pulls with that, with the banding. And you don't realize until you see the banding, how small it is. It's so cute.
Oh, Jennifer, those bell pulls. Why didn't I take one of each? Oh,
did you take any?
No, I didn't. I was behaving.
No, really?
Oh, those are tremendous.
They were cute.
And then when Jean said that the wood, the top and bottom wood, is handmade by the woman's husband. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Oh. Oh.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't take at least one, sampler one. The sampler, I could have seen you doing the sampler one.
I behaved.
Oh, my.
But before we leave, I'm making one more trip back there, so maybe.
Maybe it's still there.
There might be one or two. You never know. That shop, it's so tempting. I'm telling you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I bet.
You just have to put the clamps on yourself when you walk in there. And mm-hmm. I bought that one sampler and threads. And it's like, okay, stop. Just stop.
Yeah. Because, watching the shows and watching you be there, I got itchy. And I'm like, no, you have a cupboard full.
Yep.
Full. If anything would be bought, it would be those red silk hanks.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, I would just buy them to rub them, look at them, pet them every now and then, you know.
But, that shop, if you're in a mood to buy, you could just.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's endless, and there's stuff. You know, we were over in the corner where she has most of the reproduction samplers, but I mean, it's a giant store. Mm-hmm. And you start wandering around that place and there's models everywhere of everything.
Yeah.
I have a couple of samplers, older samplers that I bought, two or three times ago when I was in there, that are mm-hmm. in the back of the store, hanging on a wall, kind of behind stuff. And it was one of those, what are these doing? Give me that. You know, I want that. I've never seen that. And it's back there. Oh, that's been around for a while. I don't care. I want it right now. Just mm-hmm. give it to me. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's, I've spent my share in that store. I'm not.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I went to that Needleworker's Delight down in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it's not as big, but it's big. But they have tons of models.
Yeah.
There's just models, and you just get you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you have to walk through, and then they have tons of fabric. It's like, mm-hmm. oh my goodness. And, yeah.
Yep. But yeah, shops like that. Yeah, you see the chart and oh yeah, we have the fabric and the threads. Just tell us what you want. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
You know, someday I'll get there someday.
Yep.
If we ever go that way, I will be going. Believe me, it'll be first thing on the list.
Yeah, no, it's no doubt. It's definitely a shop worth making a destination out of. Yep, no doubt. Mm-hmm. So, we've just had a great time at the Attic doing all three of those shows. Yep. Lots of things. And next we have Beth on. We'll grill her a bit because I think there was some purchasing done by Beth.
Oh my! No, I was good. I was just an observer.
We'll grill Beth a little bit and see what.
Yep.
Because I know a couple of things she bought, but I don't know everything.
Oh my goodness!
I have a sense that there was some purchasing.
Yeah, I've got so much.
Yeah.
So much. And it starts to. it eats away at me. Like, sometimes just thinking about, like, I'll hover and want to buy something, and then it'll just be like, I'll get itchy and I can't. It makes me, like, get anxiety.
Really?
It's like, you cannot spend that money. Yeah.
Oh.
Because I have so much, and I'm like, oh my God. And it, the anxiety will well up. That it's like, you cannot spend that money, for you have so much of it already. Why you need more? You know? And I stop myself.
Yeah.
Because it is one of my triggers, having too much stuff.
Yeah, so. I controlled myself this time. Actually, I control myself pretty well, but I will admit.
Yeah, I usually do.
I'll admit I'm a fairly steady buyer of things. So, it's kind of the trickle effect. Yeah.
Okay, I'm pretty good. Every now and then there will be like a chart that I'm like, I have to have. Like my brain is like, I have to have it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm pretty good. There's not that many. I like lots. Like, there's tons. I'm always like, oh, that's cute. That's cute. I like that. I like that. I like everything. But there's very few that get into my brain and, like, won't let go till I have it.
Yep. But, yeah. So. That's, well, as your husband mentioned, it's part of the hobby. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's right.
Like I said, I don't do shoes. I don't do clothes. I don't
See?
Do purses.
There you go. See? All right. So. Yep. That puts you off the hook right there. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Hey, not doing shoes right there. That's a truckload of money.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. And space. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those don't pack well.
No, I barely have room for the shoes that I do have in my house. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Those shoe collector people. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. Just have a couple pair. I put them on my feet. That's it. Done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. When there's a hole appears in the sole, then I replace them. I'm good.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am.
Yep. Yeah, not important. But, well, I mean, here we are on a shoe kick. But, I mean, the shoes are art. Gosh, so
oh,
many
yeah,
of them are just
course
complete
they are.
Art. Yeah.
And a lot of them are embroidered.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, I understand why people collect them. I mean, geez.
Oh, me too. I love shoes. I think they're awesome, but I'm not about to go buying a bunch just to sit around.
Yeah. Yeah, but those expensive ones, they're an art form. Boy, some of those are just stunning. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. I don't have to. Actually, really don't. That's not even a concern in the men's world of footwear because, yeah, nothing.
Well, you'd be surprised. There are some
Oh, is there?
Oh yeah.
Oh really? Oh, I don't pay. Yeah. I pay zero attention. Yeah.
But that's not your thing, so you wouldn't even know about.
Yeah. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but. Yeah. Well, see, I see them, like on Instagram. You know, you follow enough people, and then you end up getting the pictures of haute couture. I never say that right. Haute couture.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, and once that kind of those pictures show up, then you see all that stuff. And
right.
And just visually, I mean, all that stuff is stunning. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now after Ooh. Talking with more than one tambour beating person, now, you know, like when those dresses show up, it's like, okay, nice dress, but let me see that beating. Holy smokes, that's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Thank goodness.
Yeah, something else. So, okay, so Sunday, this past Sunday, we had a conversation. I was anxious to talk to you about this. So we had a conversation mm-hmm. with Trish and Wynn of Thistle Threads. And we started out, the subject we were talking about was the quest for perfection and it getting in the way of good and or progress. And we talked a lot about
right.
that. And then we got into the gap of confidence between, well, boys, it starts young, so boys and girls, but how it carries mm-hmm. into adulthood.
Right.
And the lack of confidence that so many females express. And I am dipping into this topic again, and I'm going to get in trouble sooner or later, but
I don't think so, because you're not you're not being judgmental. You want to understand, and, yeah, and it's a real thing. So, you know.
Yeah, because it was just both ends of the discussion were really great, because that whole quest for perfection, I really struggle with that. But
right.
But that whole gap thing and how it gets entrenched in women and females,
mm-hmm,
is, it's interesting, but it's really sad at some point.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I was thinking about that because I didn't really have that. And you know how the girls, they're always finding something wrong with them. And they're all taught, you know, how the girls get together and talk about, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, or I'm not this. Or that was never me. But I think because I was, my dad has six brothers, mm-hmm, all boys in the family, and they all live in Colorado, and I grew up in Colorado. And then the first grandkids that all the boys had were all girls.
Oh.
For like almost 10 years. So there was no, and these boys are very, they all grew up hunting and fishing, very outdoorsy, building. They built, you know, my grandfather, they helped build the house, and they all went into some sort of building construction handiwork. So they grew up very outdoorsy, rough and tumble, you know.
Yeah.
And they weren't like your quiet, mousy kind of boys at all. We're talking wild children. So when I was growing up, since all they had was girl grandkids, all of us girls, there was no difference between girls and boys.
Uh-huh.
We did all the boy things.
Okay.
And then we didn't know they were boy things till we had friends that were like, oh, you do all, that's all boy stuff. Hmm. And I think that might have had a lot to do with it, because, and even when the boys came along and the girls and stuff, my cousins, I have like 18, 19 cousins, the girls and the boys are all the same. They all hunt, they all fish.
Okay.
I mean, you know, they shoot the deer and elk, they gut them. It's,
yeah.
In my family, we weren't, there was never a differentiation. And so.
So you didn't experience that within the family, but did you experience it at school?
I think I did, but it was more like I liked being smarter than the boys and better than the boys.
Okay.
And I wasn't shy about it. And, uh-huh, most of my friends were boys, though, too. Like, you know how the boys, they compete and boast and stuff with each other? I would do that with them.
Okay.
And listening to that and listening to how Trisha explained about how the girls would be out and say sorry all the time, would be shy, and how they would like put some of their stuff down, mm-hmm, to make other people feel better. I was like, I never did that. I still don't do that. And I think that's why, that explains a lot why when I was younger and even now, I don't get along with women the best.
Oh, uh-huh.
I get along with men very well.
Okay, because you had that rock solid family situation that gave you that foundation.
Yeah, I think that's, and sure, I was insecure about different things, but I didn't run around being all like, oh, I'm not good enough for that in front of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was always, you know, I was very confident in that way, mm-hmm, in some things. So that made me think. I was like, you know, that put a light bulb in my brain as to maybe why I didn't get along with girls a lot.
Well, and see, that's an interesting aspect of it too. So your worldview is much different because of your family situation. Because there was a lady, mm-hmm, who posted a comment on the video. Sorry, I didn't note the name, but that's not, mm-hmm, the first time I didn't do that. But she talked about how she did not experience that because she was raised and went to school in an all-girls school. So there was never the comparison.
Okay.
And I thought that was an interesting aspect, too, because so then it's just girls.
You're not compared to the boys.
Right, right. Yeah.
Okay.
So that, you know, and not appreciably different from your family situation where,
mm-hmm,
hey, we're going hunting. If you want to go, then you get to learn all the things that go with hunting.
Oh,
You know, and
it was,
because we're not gutting your deer. You gut your own deer. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you put your own worms on the hook.
Right.
I knew how to cast a pole when I was five. You know, it's.
Yeah. And I would just,
and my
I would
dad
just,
also built yeah. houses, so I grew up helping
there you
building.
Go. Yep.
And he, and you know, my dad taught high school, and he taught vocational building, where they went out every year and they built a house. And he would occasionally have girls in his class. And he's like, I love having the girls because he said they're smart, they're sharp, they're very organized. And he would usually make them the class foreman because they were just
yep.
top notch and stellar. And he's like, girls are amazing in construction.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's I don't know if I mentioned this in the podcast or not, but if so, I'm sorry for repeating. But when I became a chief editor of my first magazine, I don't know why. I can't explain. It's not like some wizened person said to do it. But I kind of had it in my mind and just decided that no matter what my staff was, whenever I hired people, I was going to always make sure that I had at least one woman on the staff. I have no idea where that came from, but I've always had it. And the best, you know, this is strange. The best magazine that I edited, this was back in the day when you could afford to have a staff of editors and everything was staff written, which doesn't happen anymore. But, it was Quality Magazine, and it was for quality control and manufacturing and quality assurance and all those kinds of things. So it was very, you know, very high level, high precision metrology measurement. All of that stuff. The best staff I had was all women.
Wow.
And it was the best writing. Mm-hmm. It was the best research. It was the most productive meetings. Hmm. And it's just crazy that, you know, cause people say, how could that be? But no, I will always remember that staff. And they, you know, they were women. It was an age spectrum. But, oh, they just did a bang-up job. And it was a magazine that was on desk doorstep, and we were given 5 years to get it on its feet, you know, an investment, 5 years to get it on its feet and get it making money. Mm-hmm. And I was – they cleaned house. They had a staff that was just not getting the job done, all men. They cleaned house ahead of me, and they said, all right, here it is. Hire your people. And it's, you know, staff written. The whole thing. And that's expensive. That's the expensive way to go. Cause you got to pay all those salaries. You got to have a number of people. And I had one guy and then he left and I ended up replacing him with a woman, and holy smokes, it was 3 years between the sales staff and the editorial staff. In 3 years, we had it at the top of the heap in terms of our competitors, and we're making money. And,
nice.
Oh, it was, you know, I hated to leave that magazine. I had another opportunity, so I left, but I hated to leave it because it was just such an excellent staff. And I just always felt like in meetings, planning, strategy, like you described for construction, I just always felt like if you had a female aspect, that it brought another perspective.
That, and a different way of thinking.
Yep.
Cause you know, men and women think differently.
Yep.
And I've always felt like I've been a little bit more on the male side of thinking because I get along with guys better. I think more.
Yeah.
Just different. I don't know.
Just different. Yeah.
And you know, like she was talking about with the girls at school, how they put themselves down to make other girls feel better or put their work down. That was not something I did and something I don't do now. And it's something that always turned me off from girls. I didn't like it. Like, it would annoy me.
No.
And it would be like, oh, those kinds of girls. I don't do that. I'm going to go hang out with the boys that don't, you know, we don't do that. It's like, because it's like playing games. And I don't like those kind of games.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's obviously so prevalent today. I mean, you know, just lately, the discussions about Instagram and its impact on young ladies and negative impact. And so obviously we haven't gotten any better at it.
Back when I was young, it was 17 magazine and stuff like that. Which I looked at some, and then I was like, I don't need, I was like, I just didn't feel like I needed that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but you see, you had that different upbringing. It's like the lady who posted about going to an all-girls school. Completely different worldview. And so you come out of it, and you're not as affected by things that I guess ultimately, if you hung a name on it, are trivial.
Because I also, you know, I did really girly things. I was a ballet dancer. I liked to dress up in dresses and get all pretty and stuff. But then there was the flip side where I did all the hardcore boy things.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to call it boy things. And my cousins, too. One of my girl cousins that's older than me, she was a ballerina on point, all of that. But she was right in there hunting and fishing and still is. You know, they do more of it than I do because I'm just not with the family. And my husband doesn't do it. So I'm not as into it like as I was growing up. But the rest of my family, it's still 100%.
Yep. Oh, and for people who are appalled by that, I grew up in Michigan where hunting and fishing are just part of the culture. I mean, it depends on where you grow up. You know,
and my family doesn't sport hunt. They hunt for food.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you know, we don't just kill it for, we, you know, hunt for food and, you know, it's more humane than what you buy at the grocery store, believe me.
Yeah. No, my younger sister, she hunts and, she and her husband both hunt and, yeah, she does all the things, you know, and just like you described. But yeah, all that venison, if it's deer, all that venison, boy, it's cut up, packaged, and then all winter long, that's what they eat. Yep.
See, and my dad worked at a packing plant, so he knows how to cut it, too.
There you go.
So he knows how to butcher it. And I grew up doing all these things, so, and building, and then, you know, the perfectionist, how she was talking about being perfectionist. My dad builds houses and it has to be perfect. Otherwise the structure is going to fall down or it's going to be crooked. So, I mean, I grew up and it wasn't like, you know how she was talking about how some parents are like, were you perfect and stuff? It wasn't like that. It was just like, it has to be done this way and it has to be correct. Otherwise it's going to structurally fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at needlework, you can look at it the same way. A lot of stitches, they have to be done a certain way or the structure of the stitch will not hold up.
Yeah.
Or it'll be wonky.
Yeah.
Or like on your linen, when you work on linen over two threads, you have to position your thread coming up where the vertical linen thread is.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be the vertical at the bottom left and at the top right. Otherwise, your stitches will collapse on themselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... whether it's right or wrong, it's a structure thing.
Yeah. Yeah. There has to be that element to it. Yeah. And then there's that extra element where you fret and fuss over things that at some point are just not going to gain you anything. Cause for instance, this banding, band sampler thing that I'm doing when I travel, there's one motif, one band in there, and under the magnifier, this just doesn't look right. I'm gonna pull this thing out because it just doesn't look clean. And then, all right, let me think about it for a little bit. And I came back the next day and looked at it, not under the magnifier. Mm-hmm. What do you know? There's nothing wrong with this. It looks just fine.
Yeah.
And so then I just went on and finished that band and. You know, that's where it bogs down. That's where it starts to, because I would have torn that whole thing out to make it look good under the magnifier. And it's an over one on like 27 or whatever count linen over one. And so I would have gone and fought with that all the way through for no gain. And a lot of wasted time.
Yeah. I only tear out if it really affects the, like I had to tear out on the Alice thing because it was off and it would have affected the structure of the entire piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had to take out, but like on Spring Hill on that crazy tree, one of the leaves, I mixed it up and put it in the wrong spot. You don't know it's in the wrong spot. I wasn't about to take that out and move it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yep.
I don't even, you know, I could find it again, but I don't even know which one it is, but.
And that's the thing. That's the thing right there. Cause see, I'm one who would have torn that leaf out, but you hit it right on the head. That's the thing that if you finish the piece and get it framed and go back to it 3 months later, you can't find that leaf because you've forgotten. No. And so why did you waste all that energy, all that mental struggle on that one leaf for what? You gain nothing. Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't disrupt the design. You can't tell. It doesn't stick out. You know, it's not obvious. But I was like, this is taking too long already.
Yep.
those trees with those leaves, because there's like four different colors, and then all the flowers. Oh my gosh, takes forever.
Yeah, yeah. Because I have a couple of errors on Hannah Longstreth that I just decided to leave. I can't remember today where they're at or what they
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
You know, and I just decided to leave them because I was going to have to rip out a whole bunch, and I just had a little talk with myself and said, "You're being stupid here. Leave mm-hmm. them." And now today, I honestly couldn't even point to them if I tried. Yeah.
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 And like quilting too. When I would go to quilting class, people would fret about how on the backside, inside their seam allowance, something wasn't doing exactly. And I'm like, man, nobody's ever going to see your seam allowance because you're going to quilt it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happens in your seam allowance is your own business.
Yep.
You know, it's like the backs too. And like how Trisha said, people carry, I carry. Now, mm-hmm. if it's a long ways, I'll try to bury it, but I carry because I'm not going to finish off and restart 100 times. I'm like, no, it's not happening.
Yeah,
see, I will carry. I will bury. I bury and carry.
Bury and carry. There it is. That's your T-shirt right there. I bury and mm-hmm. carry. Yep.
Absolutely, because I am not starting and stopping and starting and stopping. Because no.
See, alphabets on samplers. I end off every letter.
Oh, my God. No way. I plan it so that
I can't
get it to the next. And then if it doesn't, I'll just go under and I will bury up to the top where I need to be and then carry over.
Oh, wow. I can't. Just can't.
No. Life's too short.
I know. Well, and I'll admit I spend a lot of time starting and stopping, but I just can't. Oh, I have to end that letter.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
See, and I used to be like a super perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
but I've kind of loosened up as I've gotten older, and I think my medication has helped too. For my anxiety, medication has helped me be less like freaky and worrying. What it is, it's the worrying, the fretting.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So I don't fret like I used to. I still fret some, but I don't fret as much as I used to.
We found the right medication at the right amount. We're good to go.
Yeah, we did. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's just if folks haven't listened to that, go back. It's a really good discussion.
Yeah, and you have to listen to it, and then because your mind starts thinking,
you have to
go back and listen to it again because you know you missed something.
Yep.
It's amazing because Trisha, she works. She's not only a needlepoint designer and teacher, but she's a real teacher. Like, she teaches the robotics and the science and math and all that. And her insights into girls and boys and how they change and how she watches them as they grow up, how they change and how the girls start doubting themselves or pulling themselves back and not being as forward as the boys or, you know.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to listen to.
And to think about. During the recording, when we're talking, my mind started doing like you described. It's just started going off on tangents and stop it. We're recording this thing. We gotta keep this on track. But it does, you know, that whole topic, it makes your mind just start going back to your personal experiences and how do I fit into this thing? And
makes you think about it. Like, what formed you when you were growing up? What experiences did you have? Did something ever happen that made you suddenly become shy or something? Yep. You know,
yeah, made you who you are. Yes.
Yeah.
No, that was really, really a good one. I really encourage people to go listen to it.
It was amazing. So, I mean, I know you've talked to Trisha and stuff again, and I was like, oh, it's another Trisha thing, you know. But then you had it in the notes that we were going to discuss. I'm like, discuss? What are we? So I'm like, okay, I better listen to it if he wants to discuss it.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah, that one worked out really well. Yep, it did. All right. We got to call it here. So,
has it been time?
It's been pretty much time. Yep. Happens every time. Yep. All right. So, no show tonight. We'll be back next Wednesday, with either Kathy Ray or Jennifer Beth and me just chatting. And Sunday, you definitely want to watch or listen to the show with Victoria Mathewson on her new book, Needle Painted Plants. Well, it won't just be about the book. I mean, we're going to talk about a whole lot of things. But her new book is Needle Painted Plants and Pollinators. And if you're curious about the book, go to Mary Corbett, needleandthread.com. And she has a review just last week, so you won't have to scroll down very far to see that review of the book. And having looked at the book, I'm telling you, you're going to want to buy it just because it's some beautiful needlework. It really is.
Nice.
Yep. Oh, and Breast Cancer Research Foundation, the beaded tree at the attic.
Right. Yes.
Buy your tickets. All right, Jennifer, that's all we got. Thanks.
Good. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.